You know, it was less than a year ago that all of North Texas, you know, arguably the country, was celebrating the opening of the brand new facilities for the Dallas Holocaust Museum down in the West End. Obviously, you know, the organization's been around for decades, but really fantastic new facilities, and it's been shut down for a good long while, and maybe we can find out when it's going to reopen. But a lot, what a lot of people don't think about, the real title is the Dallas Holocaust and Human Rights Museum, and we've heard a lot about the Human Rights Museum aspect lately. Mary Pat Higgins is the president and the CEO, and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. It's so good to be talking with you this morning.
You know, I've been following your emails and the releases over the last couple of 3 months, and it's fascinating to see you all really weighing in on what's going on. I look at one from last month. You said the tragedy and unnecessary deaths of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, and many other incidents of racial bias and inequity make it clear that our mission is not yet fulfilled. And that is part of your mission, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, our mission is to teach the history of the Holocaust and advance human rights to combat prejudice, hatred, and indifference. And, you know, it definitely feels very frustrating to not have the museum open at this point, because our exhibits speak to the evolution of civil and human rights in our country. And I think that's a topic that people are suddenly interested in, that haven't really been thinking about that, have been taking for granted that we really had equal rights for everyone.
And well, you know, and one of the things is you have these great facilities now, and, mm-hmm. and rather than just have, you know, cardboard cutout exhibits of something, you know, you have space for dialogues and debate and presentations, right. and we're denied that right now. That really is a shame.
It is, but we are doing our best to keep advancing our mission through our virtual programs. We've developed a vast array of programs, and I'm really proud of our team, because we closed on March 14th and our first virtual program started on March 22nd. So we really didn't miss a beat. And there's a lot of information and programs that are available to help people learn this history and virtually at this time.
You were supposed to start what you call the Crucial Conversation series this month, race, systemic racism. Mm-hmm. Can you carry that on virtually?
Absolutely. And really, David, we plan on having all of our programming be virtual through the end of the year. I hope that we'll get to the point that we can have an audience in the museum in our beautiful Cinemark Theater. But we definitely will have virtual programming throughout the end of the year. And the neat thing about that is it's been attracting people from all over the country and actually throughout the world. So we will launch Crucial Conversations, Race and Racism in Our Community on July 23rd. It's a 4-part series. And the goal is to help us all have an increased understanding of racism in both the historical and contemporary context, and to help create some, help people think about some concrete steps that can be taken to disrupt systemic racism.
This is such it's a dynamic issue, and we've really seen it just over the last month or two. It looks like a lot of the fight happily has moved out of the streets and, you know, into the public arena. You know, I think of Facebook. Facebook's facing a boycott by 1,000 mm-hmm. advertisers, mm-hmm. Saying that you need to rein in some of the language and some of the thought. And of course, that becomes a free speech issue.
Exactly. Well, it's you know, I'm very hopeful that this movement will continue and really will evolve into the second civil rights movement, because, you know, the work was not finished in the 1960s. I think you see movements go through waves, and I'm excited and hopeful about the, you know, vast number of people that are engaging in dialogue and wanting to learn more. And so our hope through this series is to help sort of set a level playing field of people you know, we'll understand all of the terms that are being used and thrown about. And then we'll, the second session will focus on Dallas's history, you know, of race and racism, and really set a historical groundwork. As a history museum, we think that's very important. Then we'll move to looking at the present and center that discussion on personal testimony and learn from people throughout our community about what racism looks like today in our city. And then lastly, we'll end with the future. We'll discuss strategies that people can take to address systemic racism, and we'll have a call to action. You probably remember from visiting our museum that we end our permanent exhibition with a call to action, and we challenge our visitors to get engaged in the community. So the last session in this series will be focused on that call to action, so we can all be a part of the solution.
It sounds like you're keeping the mission alive and well, and certainly as well as can be expected. Tell me about the bricks and mortar. I mean, you've got these marvelous new facilities, open less than a year. I know you spent a lot of money to do it. You had a lot of fundraising, but now you've got no ticket sales. You've got no groups coming in, no fundraisers. You have the great parking garage, which was sort of a steady stream of, you know, of revenue. And I would guess that that's not full of cars anymore. No. How's the organization fiscally?
Well, it's, you know, it's been a challenge. We are not alone. Lots of organizations are suffering, but it has really been a financial hardship having to close the museum. About 35% of our operating budget is earned revenue. You know, that's admissions, it's parking, as you mentioned, it's facilities rentals. And we've had no earned income since we closed on March 14th. So it has really been a challenge. We've cut our budget to the bone. We've pivoted to virtual programming, which in a lot of ways is less expensive than programming in person. You know, speakers, we're able to get some fabulous speakers who don't have to fly to Dallas, and many have been willing to waive their speaker fees. You know, we've pivoted to try to tighten up and be as efficient as possible. I think when we reopen, we'll start with only opening 5 days a week instead of the 7 days a week that we were open before, to try to operate the building as efficiently as possible.
Are you working? Is there a coordinated effort with the Perot, the Nasher, and the other facilities that are being impacted by this?
Yes. You know, that has been a silver lining for our organization, at least. We aren't a part of the downtown Dallas Arts District, but there was a strong working group that is a part of that district, and they reached out to our museum, to the Sixth Floor Museum, to a lot of other cultural organizations, and included us in a weekly call that the CEOs have. And it's been really incredible and very helpful. We are about to, at some point, we'll be releasing shared guidelines for how we will all operate responsibly and to keep our visitors safe. And the museum CEOs and I talk very frequently about, you know, when we feel like it would be safe to open. I don't know that we would wait for all of the other museums to be ready to open, because our mission, you know, as we've been saying, has never been more relevant. So I think our team, our board, is very, very anxious to get the museum open so families can come and learn this history and use a visit to our museum as a discussion stimulator, you know, for their families. So,
yeah, I mean, it does. The timing just couldn't be better for this sort of a dialogue. So do you have a day? I know you had planned to open the first week of July. So do you have another date that you're shooting for right now?
You know, we don't at this point, David. We took a number of steps to ensure that a visit to our museum would be safe. We you know, install the plexiglass. We put social distancing signage throughout the building. We have hand sanitizers throughout the building. We actually changed some of the exhibitionary experience to ensure that you could have adequate social distancing and to remove the interactives, you know, at least temporarily. So I feel like I could open the museum tomorrow and it would be safe for our employees and our visitors if everyone were wearing a mask. And I'm so grateful that the governor, is requiring that now. But we just didn't feel like it would be responsible to open the museum while the COVID-19 cases are surging in Dallas County. And so we are pausing and hoping that we'll see that curve start to flatten and we'll be ready to open the minute that it looks like we can do so responsibly.
All right. So quickly, so the next thing then, the next virtual experience are these Crucial Conversations series. And they start this month?
Thursday, July 23rd at 7 p.m. will be starting the conversation. But there are a couple of programs between now and then. Next Thursday, we have our permanent exhibition highlight series where every month we focus on a different element of our exhibition. And one of the strands in our American Ideals Gallery is criminal justice. So next Thursday, we'll have Richard Miles, who was wrongfully convicted and exonerated through the Innocence Project, and Gary Udashin, who's the president of the Innocence Project. They will be speaking at 7 p.m. On the 20th, we'll have a Movie Monday discussion where you can watch Schindler's List with your family and then tune in and have a debrief with our two Holocaust PhD educators. And this Friday at 9:30, we have story time for young children and their families. Every Friday we do that, and the goal is to teach empowerment and inclusion through story time.
Right.
Our educator and her 6-year-old daughter lead that session. It's pretty cute.
Well, it'll be interesting to keep up with what you've got now, and like I said, we certainly look forward to the reopening of the forum. Mary Pat Higgins is the president and CEO of the Dallas Holocaust and Human Rights Museum. It's always good to chat. Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much, David.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Ms. Higgins, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.